Walking has become a very important thing to many people. Communities build places for people to walk, such as Statesville's Greenway. There are walking tracks and gyms, treadmills at gyms, or even in one's own home. You may remember when Signal Hill Mall was still open, it was a safe place where seniors would go to walk, not having to be concerned with the outside elements. Doctors recommend walking for exercise, better health, for weight loss. And we now have devices that count and keep track of how many steps a person takes per day. And then on top of all of that, did you know that walking is even an Olympic event in races called race walking? So, yes, walking has become a very important thing. Now, I personally have never enjoyed walking that much. And that's not a criticism of those of you who do regularly walk. It's just not real enjoyable to me. Hiking, yes. Walking, not so much. And you ask, what's the difference? Well, mainly hiking's a lot more fun. Hiking generally involves exploring, adventuring, seeking the views from distant vistas, or enjoying nature in new places. Denise and I greatly enjoyed hiking during our two trips to Scotland. Closer to home here in North Carolina, you can check with Joe and Ellie of Great Places to Hike, as they've explored many places around here. Yet I recognize the great importance of walking, especially in terms of our spiritual lives. For you see, the New Testament letters speak of our walk in several places. The term walk is used in relationship to our spiritual lives, our relationship with the Lord, our daily living out of the Christian life. And thus, these passages give us instructions on how we are to walk. This morning, let me give you, as I call it, the general call regarding our walk as a Christ follower. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to look at some other scriptures giving and explaining some of the specific ways we can carry this call out. But this general call is actually found in four different passages throughout the New Testament letters. The first one is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." The second one is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says this, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Third passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Paul writes, "You know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." And then the last one, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. "Only conduct yourselves," or live your life, in other words, "live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." So thus, we are to walk, or we are to live, one, in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called, in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, in a manner worthy of the God who calls us, and in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's our call as followers of Christ. That's His command to us. So let's break it down in order to understand better what's being said here in terms of our walk. So the term walk is used frequently throughout the New Testament to refer to daily conduct, day-by-day living, which is, if you think about it, so much of what the New Testament letters address, daily living. They teach and instruct us how to live, how to be in this world that we are a part of. So often in the New Testament epistles, the first part of the letter addresses important doctrinal truths, but then the second half focuses on the practical living out in our daily lives and relationships of those doctrinal truths. Because doctrinal truth is to be lived out, and it really is practical and relevant to our living. So walk, I could say it means this, to walk about, to conduct one's life, to order one's behavior, to live out in the dailiness of our lives. So walk, it's speaking of daily living. All right, here's the next question. How are we to walk? How are we to live as Christ followers? Answer, we are to walk or live in a manner worthy of the Lord. And then the four passages we read say it in slightly different ways, but we are to walk or to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ that we have been called to, that we have embraced. Now, there is an important picture behind this phrase, in the manner worthy of, and it'll help you understand it better when you see the picture. The word worthy, and we've looked at this before, so hopefully it'll sound familiar to you, but it means to weigh as much as, or to have a value equal to, or to be of equal weight. And it has the root meaning of balancing the scales. Can you think of the picture of the old-fashioned scales with the pans on both sides? And thus what this is saying is our desire, our goal, our pursuit should be that when our profession of Christ and our daily living for Christ are put on that scale, there should be a balance there. Shouldn't be lopsided where our profession overly outweighs our lifestyle. But that's the picture behind that phrase to be in a manner worthy of. That's the picture that scale. And so by extension, this word came to be applied to anything that was expected to correspond to something else. For example, a person worthy of his pay was one whose day's work corresponded to his day's wages, his day's pay. And so Paul is saying there should be a balance between profession and practice, between belief and living. So he exhorts these churches and these locations that he's writing to see to it that their Christian life weighs as much as their profession of Christ, of believing in Jesus, which they make. And thus they are to walk in a manner worthy of Christ and the gospel. That's what the call is. And that's how we walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, by making sure our profession and our practice equal each other. So again, we're to see to it that our manner of life, our daily living, weighs as much as the Christ and the gospel we profess to believe. Or else, when we talk about Christ, our words and our witness will not have weight, will not carry weight. That which gives weight to our words and our message and our sharing is the fact that our manner of life, our behavior, befits and is in agreement with the gospel we proclaim, the Christ we belong to, and the Christ we're trying to share about to that person. Warren Wiersbe said this, quote, "The most important weapon against the enemy is not a stirring sermon or a powerful book. It is the consistent life of believers." I mean, think about it. Where is the battle for the gospel won or lost in this day and age? And I know, I get it, numerous answers could be given. But to a large extent, the battle is won or lost in our conduct, in our behavior, in our speech. The battle is fought today more than ever upon the ground of how we as believers live as Christ followers, and also how we live as neighbors and parents, children, business people, employees, employers, students. In other words, again, the battle is won or lost in how we live. Whether we live as becoming of the gospel of Christ, or whether we live in a way that discredits the gospel of Christ. Maybe you've heard the saying, she, or he for that matter too, but she wears clothes that are becoming of her. Maybe it's a dress, a skirt, a blouse, a style, even a color that becomes or is worthy of her face or figure. Or maybe it's not becoming. That seems to be more of a problem today with what people wear. But it, in other words, it doesn't present her in the best light. It doesn't enhance her appearance, is what we're saying by that expression, what we're meaning by that expression. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. The way that we win the battle for the gospel today is if we live lives that enhance the gospel to those around us. And the way that we lose the battle is if we live lives that distract from the gospel and repel people from the gospel. So, simple question for all of us today is, in the everydayness of my life, do I enhance the gospel or do I detract from the gospel? And I would add to that to pray, Lord, I need your perspective, your answer to this question, because I can deceive myself. I can make myself look better than I really am. I read about a man who approached his pastor one day and said, we have some neighbors who believe a false gospel. Do you have any kind of literature we could give to them? And so the pastor opened his Bible to 2 Corinthians, and he read this: you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Then he told that person, the best literature in the world is no substitute for your own life. Let your neighbor see Christ in your behavior, in your speech, in your work habits, in your values. And that will open up opportunities to share the gospel with them. That was a pretty wise response from that pastor. You see, one of the most damaging contributors to the gospel is the bad testimony of Christians and churches. Why? Well, because in essence, it makes the gospel a farce. It discredits it. As the saying goes, I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you're doing. People look at the church and hear us preach and declare the gospel, yet they see lives that don't reflect holiness and virtue and salvation from sin. They don't see the love and compassion of Christ flowing from many Christians. And so therefore, they say that the gospel doesn't do anything. It's not good news. It's not life-changing. They see pastors in immorality. They see church members in immorality. They see fighting and disunity in churches. They see people cheat on their job. And they see people lie and curse and complain. People with just rotten attitudes. Christian, I'm talking about Christians. I could bring our district superintendent in to tell you, sadly, a far too many stories of people in our churches not living in a manner worthy of the gospel, not conducting themselves in a manner worthy of the Lord. In other words, the scale between belief and practice is not balanced, not even close in many cases. You know, the world asks the question of us Christians, what message do you offer? And we answer, deliverance from sin. And yet they too often say, oh, really? You don't look very delivered. The life of the believer, the life of the church, must demonstrate the gospel, which is taking us from sin to righteousness, from selfishness to selflessness. Yes, I get it. I understand. It's a growth process. It doesn't happen in a one-year time period. And thus, we're going to need to apologize when we fail in some way. But the overall call that we see in these four passages is for us to live lives that are worthy of being called Christians, worthy of being called Christ followers, that upholds Christ as someone worthy of giving one's life to. Now, this is not me trying to overstate the importance of this today. In the Philippian passage, Paul, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, stresses this importance. Let me read it for you again. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He says, only conduct yourselves, or only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The very first word in that verse declares this importance to us. Only. This word is in what's called the emphatic position in the original language. And it means above all else, or whatever may happen, or at all cost. It's captured, this sense is captured in some of the other translations. Let me read them for you. Holman Christian Standard Bible puts it this way. Just one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The NIV says it this way. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. And finally, the Amplified Translation puts it this way. Only be sure as citizens to conduct yourselves in that manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ. So hear what he's saying. Philippians 1:27. No matter what happens, above all else, at all cost, you must live your lives worthy of the gospel. We see the same emphasis and urgency in the 1 Thessalonians passage. In again, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Look at these words. He says, you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children. Why? So that, here's another one of those so that expressions we've memorizing this year, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you. Understand, this is the Holy Spirit that's emphasizing the importance of this to us, using Paul as the writer. Exhorted, encouraged, implored. Right, let me direct your attention to that Ephesian passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Now, take note of the circumstances in which Paul is writing this exhortation from. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord. And so Paul, before he gives the command to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, reminds us of what his circumstances were. He was a prisoner, prisoner for the cause of Christ. And so the point is, this call to walk worthy, which he is going to be exhorting the Ephesian Christians as well as us to do, is not dependent on our circumstances in life. You see that? This call to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is not dependent on our circumstances in life. In other words, we don't get a free pass because we have less than ideal circumstances. Yet that is what some Christians seem to expect. And you hear it in comments like, but you just don't understand my situation. Interpreted, that often means, don't hold me to the same standard. Or the bar gets lowered because of my circumstances, because of my situation. And yet Paul says, my circumstances or my situation is, I'm a prisoner. And can I remind you that being in prison back then was far different than it is here in our country? You didn't get heated and cooled place to live. You didn't have a TV. You didn't have exercise equipment. You didn't have a library and daily meals. In fact, in terms of meals, you better hope you had someone on the outside who could help, who could bring meals into you, or else you would die of starvation in prison. And they didn't have groups fighting for their rights back then. And yet, Paul does not lower the bar for himself because of his tough circumstances. Even in prison, in an unjust and horrible situation, he still recognized and pursued walking or living in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now, I'm not trying to minimize your hardship. I'm not. I'm just making an observation of what Paul says. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you. In other words, this is not simply a request, not simply a suggestion from Paul. It's a plea, an entreating. I urge you, I beseech you, I beg you. So again, we see an intensity in Paul's request, as we saw in Philippians and 1 Thessalonians. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So in light of all that we've looked at, an important question to think about, an important question to ask yourself is this: am I conducting myself in a manner worthy of the gospel, worthy of the Lord, worthy of the Jesus I confess? Please understand, I'm not trying to put you under a guilt trip in the sense of putting a magnifying glass on every little aspect of your life and behavior and feeling awful because you don't measure up. But I do want this to become part of our daily mindset and to know this is what Christ calls us to. We are to walk, we are to live in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called, in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, in a manner worthy of the God who calls us, and in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Yet, brothers and sisters, we will need the Spirit's enabling grace to live this way. We will need the Spirit's transformation of our lives and our attitudes and our actions to live this way. And we will need humility when we fall short, followed by confession and forgiveness from the Lord, and maybe even possibly from the one we've fallen short before. So there's the call that's put before us. In the coming weeks, we're going to look at some other specific scriptures giving and explaining some of the ways we can carry this call out, ways that we should carry this call out. So let me leave you with the Philippian passage again, but I'd like to read it from the Message paraphrase version. It goes like this: live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. May God give us ears to hear and wills to act. Let's pray.